Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Are you going to write a book now, Tom?
I haven't gotten one down on paper yet, John, but maybe one of these days I'll scratch that itch.
Well, 25 years doing what you're doing, it seems to me like maybe you've got some reflecting to do. I was wondering, that long in business on Thursday, how has business changed either for your company or as a business that's in the business of hiring people, finding employees? I wonder how that's changed.
Well, I think there's been a lot. I think the obvious answer is just the past 3 years of doing video interviews, Zoom interviews, utilizing Teams and that kind of stuff has really changed how business is done, but especially interviewing candidates has been crazy different. You know, we go back in time. I'm 51. I don't feel like I'm that old, but I started the company when I was 26, and we didn't have individual emails in that point in time. So there's my old man walking uphill in the snow story.
Yeah.
And so to see that transformation happen from, you know, when we started out, we'd have resumes that were faxed to us, John. So we'd have file cabinets upon file cabinets of resumes. Now it's all done electronically, and we don't even print as much as we used to.
Do you think that it's better now? I mean, it can be more comprehensive. You can sort through a computer file maybe quicker, but you've lost some of the human touch that way. Is it better the way we do it now or not in terms of finding a candidate for a job?
Yeah, it's better because it's faster. And now the flip side of it is, you do lose a little bit of the personality of it, because it used to be you'd get a resume sent to you in the mail or on fax machine. You'd have to read the cover letter because it was right there. Now you kind of delete the cover letter and you go right to the resume. So there are some nuances of that. And you get so many emails and bombarded that it's changed. But, you know, I think we can't always be looking back and saying, oh, I miss what was, woe is me. We've got to embrace the technology. Yeah. And we move faster, we do more. And we, quite frankly, you do stuff all around the country, if not the world, as a result of it, which is pretty cool.
Did you say we delete the cover letter?
Oh, a lot of times people delete the cover letter, John.
What do you think of that? What is that telling me?
I think that the cover letters don't have, now this isn't a new phenomenon, this has always been, People take their cover letters and they use the exact same one for every job they apply to. So a lot of times they get treated with about as much attention as they were to create them. I think people tend to either write really long ones, really short ones. They repeat the same one. They don't change the names of the companies. There's a lot of room for error there. I think the ones that do get read are the ones that are to the point, that are bulleted, rather than just paragraphs. They're customized for every job. You know, those are ones that really make sense. But the majority of them, there isn't much attention or care put
into. When it finally finds human eyeballs, then make it as easy as you can for that person to scan and assess. And a beautifully written page-and-a-half letter is a bad idea, right?
Yeah. You know, nobody wants to read that but your grandma. And I think you gotta realize
your heart and soul. You're pouring yourself out. You're telling them your story. If they would just know who I am, they'd hire me. There it is.
Well, I think that's the EQ that we talk about so much, John, is what part of your story do people really want to hear?
John Hansen had a guest on last week on his show in the evening, and I forget what the number was, but what's the hiring website, and 98% of the resumes that are submitted to this job site nobody ever sees. It's it's a computer algorithm that immediately sorts and files, and if you apply for a job on this platform, you're almost guaranteed no one's going to see it. Why are you laughing?
I think people feel that way about most jobs that they apply for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, it's interesting when, you know, we haven't done this survey in a few years now, but we did a survey once of hiring managers who are of unemployed people who used to be hiring managers when they were working. And we asked how many of the resumes they got when they were interviewing to hire people when they were employed, did they follow up with every single person that sent a resume? And the answer was, we can't. It's impossible. I mean, no one was close to even 50%. But yet, when you're the candidate, yeah, you want everybody to follow up with you all the time. It's there's a lack of empathy on both sides of this equation.
Well, with that many people applying, especially over the internet these days, it would be humanly impossible to do so. So I see how the new technology is helpful and even necessary. It would be nice if there was some way to bridge that, but I don't know what that is.
Well, I think the biggest challenge people have, John, is they don't really know what they want to do. They don't know where they want to do it. They don't know why they want to do it. So they don't go in with a plan. And, you know, it's to me, that's really the challenge. I want this job. Why? Well, I have the same title. It's like you got to think through things of, do you like your job? What do you like about it? What do you like about that industry and that company? And really come up with a belief system and a story you can make right. a narrative for right. of why they should hire.
Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network, thelasallenetwork.com. Congratulations, Tom. My best to you and your staff over there.
Thanks, John. Quarter of a century doesn't suck, so I'll take it. Stay healthy.
Philip Weiss joins us again on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the president of SciFarth at Work. Philip, I sort of pushed the lead out there just a second ago. Why is it that so many loan applications for small businesses are being denied right now?
Yeah, John, good to join you. And part of it is just a general feeling of uncertainty vis-a-vis the second half of 2023. Coming out of COVID, there's still enough signs of instability that banks, particularly those looking at small business ventures, are leery of putting too much cash on the table. But from the small business owner standpoint, John, it's only one area where they're feeling the pressure of a raft of rejections. It's the loans, as you said. It's liquidity requests, that is, investment groups are much less likely mid-2023 to invest directly in small firms and companies and startups. And even something like insurance, according to our clients, is getting harder to come by for startups. That is, whether it's the insurance policy you're buying for property damage or liability, or even getting a claim covered. So the belts are being tightened in all areas, and small businesses are beginning to feel it.
Any advice for them? How do they attack these multiple fronts?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. If you're a small business that's already seeing this, you want to be building a plan right away. That's first and foremost. A lot of small businesses have great relationships with lenders, insurance companies, banks, investors. The issue is when you're establishing a new relationship, you have to take a very meticulous approach. In fact, in a way, you want to think like a lawyer, because if a lawyer was looking at this on your behalf, she or he would say to you, how careful you create an application, be it for a loan, be it for an insurance policy, can be the difference maker. We had a client, for example, John, that had a small company in the software field, totally new product line, and they were looking for insurance. And they so meticulously planned out their application for insurance. They studied where the insurance company had covered companies before. They used language that the insurance company liked to see. Mm. They color-coded their application and defined their business terms. The insurance broker called them and said, you're going to get really fast approval because you've shown the kind of care that tells the insurance company you're a safe bet. So think like a lawyer. Be a wordsmith. Draft carefully. Explain everything. Tell your story, whether you're applying for a loan, insurance, or investment monies.
You also said something like double-check your facts and your math, which sounds to me like anybody's resume when they're applying for a job. If I see a mistake there, I'm going to maybe think you're not a serious candidate, and maybe the banks feel the same way about applicants.
Yeah, that is so true, John. And in fact, the risks of that impression being conveyed are multiplied when they're putting their own money and their own skin in the game. One really interesting thing you'll hear from loan officers and investors is if the company is projecting really fast growth, really big income, we're concerned not only because we think that might be unrealistic, but we can imagine how much cash they have to burn in the first year to get that growth. So don't shoot for the stars in your projections. Show reasonable, careful accounting and planning, and above all, show that you have a game plan that is achievable.
I'm out of time, but this sounds like a longer conversation you and I could have, or you might have, with potential clients. That's Philip Weiss, the president of Seyfarth at Work. Click on SeyfarthAtWork.com, spelled S-E-Y-F-A-R-T-H, SeyfarthAtWork.com. Philip, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me, John.
You've heard the downtown office occupancy is not what it should be or was in the past. You've heard that people aren't coming downtown to either do their jobs. Some folks aren't coming down to shop as much as they used to. And you've heard that mall business is down across the country. And yet, the exception to all of that is 900 North Michigan Avenue. My understanding is that the occupancy rate of that shopping emporium on Michigan Avenue, that landmark, it certainly has been, is 98%. I don't know of anybody anywhere. That's not the occupancy rate of storefronts on Michigan Avenue, say. Look at how State Street's had to reimagine itself. Taylor Stucker joins us, the director of marketing at 900 North Michigan Avenue. Taylor, this is John Williams. You're on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi.
Hi, John. Pleasure speaking with you today.
I mean, do you see yourself as an outlier that way? It does seem to be the exception to the rule generally for big cities like Chicago.
You know, we certainly consider ourselves part of the community here on the Magnificent Mile and just hope to see the city continue to restore itself. But we're certainly proud of all the hard work and all the key players that it takes to keep the village moving and breathing and pumping inside here at 900 Shops.
You call it a village?
It certainly takes a village to keep the building at the occupancy and the way we operate it, the way it does.
Talk about who the residents are there, because it's shopping. Is there residential? Is there business offices there as well?
There are. So we have 7 levels of shopping, which is inclusive of an Equinox, as well as Bloomingdale's, which is our anchor tenant. You have the Four Seasons Hotel along with the residences. We also have another set of private residences and a tower office.
I wonder what percentage of the people that use the retail points that are shopping there are residents of the downtown or maybe that building, or say are people staying at Four Seasons?
Well, I can inform you that about 80% of our shoppers are local to the Chicagoland area, and about 20% of our shoppers are coming from travel purposes.
Okay, well, maybe that answers the question then. But I wonder then, too, what are they shopping for? You are a high-end destination, right?
That's correct.
Talk a little bit about who the tenants are. Who are some of the retailers there?
Well, what's super unique about 900 Shops is that we are both local and national, and it's about a 50-50 split. So if you're coming from somewhere down the street or from across the country, if you visit some of our local tenants, you really get that special treasure item that you can't find anywhere else.
It does seem that for the tall buildings downtown where they're trying to get the businesses to come back and the people to come back in, they have to sort of reimagine how people use these destinations, right? So you don't just go to work in an office building. Now you need to have some recreation. You need to have food. You need to have the comfort of home. Talk a little bit about how you have sort of thought about those things in keeping 900 as dynamic as it is.
Well, we went under a renovation starting in back in about 2016, and the main focus behind the new 900 that is today is a curation of natural escapism, being hospitality forward, and really creating a brand cohesion story. And you can see that all the way through our center. Our furniture is designed by Abraco Designs. Our 22,000 square foot food hall is operated by Hog Salt Hospitality, which is most famous for Small Cheval. And we also have a digital art installation that's 180 feet long, and it's curated by both local and international artists.
What are the things that people come there most for? Is Bloomingdale's the big draw? Is there a restaurant that really draws people there? What would you say is, you're going to hate this question, who are your most important tenants?
Bloomingdale's is our anchor tenant, and now that Bloomingdale's Home is also inside our shopping center, it certainly is a very big draw. Astor Hall, our food hall, is quite the draw as well. And if you're a true insider and a true foodie, you know that it being operated by Hogsalt Hospitality, you're going to have an amazing meal there.
Talk a little bit more, though, about the ethos. I mean, it just seems to me like there must be some secret sauce you're using here. How is it that you all are so viable at 98%?
It's the team that keeps this place breathing every day. I will say, even our GM and VP, he really has bred within the team as a whole, all the way from engineering to cleaning to marketing. It really takes all of us to always have the blinders off and seeing the big picture here.
Have you all made post-pandemic or during the pandemic changes? Did something happen differently in the last few years?
You know, we hate to use the word luck, but the opportunity that we had finished a renovation about a year before the pandemic truly put us as a separator, I think, compared to other shopping centers.
So I wonder what you would recommend to people who've heard of 900 North or maybe haven't. Maybe they've been there for a while, haven't been there in a while, though. I mean, what would be a good way for me to stick my nose back in the door there? What should I anticipate doing?
We really have a balanced mix between fashion, food, and art here. So spend the whole day with us. You can start your morning by getting a coffee, pulling out your laptop, getting some work done. You can have lunch at Astor Hall or even at Four Seasons. You can do some shopping, and you can even finish your day with a cocktail. What's also great about our shopping center is on levels 2 through 6, you can walk around with a cocktail. So this is the best kind of retail therapy you can have.
I didn't know that. I know you can do it. Although if you can do it at Mariano's, I guess you can do it at 900 North Michigan Avenue too, right? So you have an open alcohol policy on the retail floors, huh?
Levels 2 through 6. You can sip a cocktail while you shop.
That's good to know. Okay. Well, anything else I need to know, Taylor, before I let you go?
That we hope to see you here soon, and appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
900 North Michigan Shops. Shop900.com is the website, shop900.com. Taylor Stucker, nice to talk to you today. Thanks for your thoughts.
Nice to speak to you as well.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based Kemper is exiting its preferred home and auto insurance business. Policies sold through the Kemper personal insurance brand won't be renewed or could be canceled depending on state regulations. Kemper Life and the company's specialty auto line, Kemper Auto, won't be affected by the change. Kemper says it'll focus on insuring drivers with spotty records and young motorists who don't yet have driving records. It's unclear whether job cuts could follow the end of Kemper Preferred. Riverwoods-based Discover Financial Services is looking for a new CEO. Current boss Roger Hochschild is stepping down effective immediately. He and the board concluded a change in leadership was needed. Discover has been struggling with regulatory compliance issues. Hochschild has been CEO since 2018. His ties to the company go back to 1998. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of food, this is Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And today, dumplings are on our menu. Lots of dumplings.
15 different types of dumplings that we're going to see at the festival this year.
More from her after I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for sponsoring us. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, dumplings. You may not be aware of this, but Chicago is home to the World Dumpling Fest.
It's a big festival.
It's still a few weeks away, but the organization putting it on is calling for volunteers.
We usually see about 3,000 folks in attendance, so we definitely need a lot of help.
That's Monica Felix. She's executive director of the Chicago Cultural Alliance, and these volunteers would be doing dumpling things?
Well, the usual types of festival things. We need people at the door, just scanning people in, checking the tickets, handing out bands, but also helping the vendors. And we're looking to have a few fun cultural activations on site, too.
Past dumpling festivals have been at Navy Pier, but after taking a couple of years off for COVID.
We're holding it in Logan Square this year.
When?
That's going to be on a Saturday. It's September 9th.
Monica says the Cultural Alliance embraces people from all over the city.
And we see a lot of folks from communities of color, a lot of immigrants and refugees. And so this is a way of not only raising funds to support our work, but also to showcase our members.
And no matter your family roots, you probably have some form of dumpling in your history. And what kind of dumplings are going to be featured at the fest?
We're
going to
have alcaburria, which is Puerto Rican. We'll have bao, which are Chinese, dumbre, which is a Haitian dumpling, empanadas, which are Latin American, mandu, those are Korean, Himalayan momo. Don't know if you've tried that one.
No, I haven't, but I want to.
They're delicious. Of course, we have pierogi, samosas, South Asian, zemelknödel. So those are going to be German bread dumplings. And then takoyaki, which are Japanese.
All of that coming up on September 9th in Logan Square Park. But right now, the Chicago Cultural Alliance needs volunteers. And if dumplings get you excited, you can reach out via email.
info@chicagoculturalalliance.org.
And all about the World Dumpling Fest at chicagoculturalalliance.org. From the farm to your belly, oh, I'm a fan. National Lemon Meringue Pie Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
The Aaron Waters Show is here. Grace Fuller joins us, the general manager at citycruises.com. This is one way to do the Aaron Waters Show, huh, Grace?
It's the best way.
So tell me, so you guys have one of those boats that operate on the river and the lakefront. So do you time the tours or the trips with the show itself?
We do our best. We do our best to do that. As you know, the show is weather dependent. And we have designed our cruises to be out on the water for the best parts of the show as they're scheduled. And we have several boats actually out there. So we've got an experience for all tastes.
So you're doing a Friday during the rehearsal, the test run, and then Saturday and Sunday are the shows. Are they all food cruises or are they not food cruises?
We have both. So we have our dining cruises on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we also have our Sea Dog tours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, operating at all times during the show. And you can do a food option or you can do the Sea Dog.
Now, the Sea Dog are those long, yellow, kind of speedboat-looking things, right?
That's right.
And when I do either of them, the Sea Dog or the other boats, am I cruising along or do you kind of drop anchor and watch the show? What's the duration, maybe, of the trip?
No, we're cruising along. Sea Dog is a 30-minute lakefront ride, and we also have our river tours if you're interested in that, and that's 75 minutes. But our dining cruises are 2 hours. It's a 2-hour lunch cruise, and it's during the show from 12:30 to 2:30. We board at noon, and it's a full buffet, DJ, entertainment, and the best views of the air show that you can find.
Yeah, I mean,
oftentimes during the air and water show, they cruise right over the top of us,
yeah,
and it's exhilarating.
Yeah, the planes cruise over the boats that are cruising on the lake. So
that's
You mentioned the Sea Dogs, and then what are the names of the boats that I want to go on for a longer trip or to dine on? What are the names of those ships?
Odyssey Lake Michigan, Spirit of Chicago, or Spirit of Navy Pier.
Okay. So they dock. Are you docking at Navy Pier, or are you docking along the river? I'm at 303 East Wacker. I'm at Columbus and the river. Where are you?
These vessels are located on Navy Pier.
Got it. So what are my chances of getting on the boat if I just show up on Saturday or Sunday, or do I need to make reservations in advance?
I highly recommend making a reservation in advance. We do sell out typically on these cruises, so you want to make sure to make your reservation. We are not sold out just yet, but it's really crunch time right now where we get a lot of reservations coming in this weekend. So I would definitely make your reservation in advance. And we have several options to choose from, all a different experience, and it's just the best way to see the show. We have unobstructed views. You can relax on our observation decks where we have furniture, and it's really beautiful. Watch the whole show, be a part of the action, and truthfully, it is the best way to see the show.
Do you? What's on the menu? What do you eat when you're on the boat for lunch?
It is a brunch menu, so we have a variety of options, and we have a variety of options for people with allergies or people with certain dietary restrictions. So it's available to everyone, and it's new. All of our menus have recently been revised, and it's very exciting for us. We're super proud of them. It's a delicious menu. There really is something for everybody, and I highly encourage people to book with us because it's just a great day on the water. The menu is fantastic. We have a new drink menu, a new wine list, and we're really proud and ready to showcase these dishes out for everyone.
And if I do the signature lunch cruise, I'm just wondering how this works. Like, do I get a wristband and then that says that I'm in the lunch crowd or not, and I'm not in the lunch crowd? Do you have to, are there two flights or two prices, if you will, just cruise or cruise with lunch? How does that work?
No, all of the cruises include lunch and brunch. So it's really just the bar package is what you would either purchase ahead of time, or you can have your drinks on board and enjoy a mimosa while you're cruising. But it's, brunch is included for everyone. And again, the menu is extensive. It's a great new menu. We're very, very proud of it. And I think it satisfies the needs of everyone.
City Cruises Chicago, City Cruises Chicago. So you can see the preview or practice show on the 18th. And then this Saturday and Sunday, they're at Navy Pier. And you can find out the schedule, pick your cruise, get your reservation, citycruises.com. Have a great weekend, Grace. Good luck.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, I'm just about to, I'm tempted to now open my phone and see what the Saturday noon temperature is like. Let's see here. There's Phoenix. There's Ottawa. There's Carbondale. Athens, places I've been recently. Charlevoix. Let's just go over to Chicago. Must be scrolling the other way. New Buffalo, Denver. My brother's there. Chicago, Saturday. Sunshine, 87. Sunday, sunshine and 88. Great weekend for the Air and Water Show. Boy, I hope that holds. Seems like so often anymore there was just enough mist or fog or clouds that it would put a damper on the thing. So far, so good.